We're talking about the fact that our God is a God of miracles. Amen? Sometimes in the body of Christ, people expect that we will the only thing they see as where God is present is people falling all over the place. And that is not the only thing that signifies the presence of God. God can choose to manifest himself any way that he chooses. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If he wants to do that, that will take place. Amen. In the dedication of Solomon's temple, the glory of the Lord came down into the temple, and even the priests could not minister. But the story we're about to look at in the Bible, that didn't happen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to be looking at God's miracle of deliverance today. Hallelujah. God will show up for anyone and everyone that calls upon his name. That is, he is not a respecter of persons. God will do for you what he did for anyone else. He's not looking at anybody's face to do anything. He loves us all. Amen? In fact, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. That is to show you the extent of his love. And in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hallelujah. So I'm going to read the scripture and then we will go along. Praise the Lord Jesus. From verse 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. As it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So these two main nations and other splinter groups came together to fight the children of Judah. And it was a great host. And Jehoshaphat was frightened by it, because going by natural means, there was no way he could beat that group. Hallelujah. You see, this could happen when somebody is overwhelmed and there are problems all over the place, and God begins, you know, you begin to look at it like there's no apparent way of being free of this situation if I went about it through my natural means. That's a good place to call upon the name of the Lord, because you need a miracle. Hallelujah. When there's a problem, God expects that we will call upon his name. In the book of 2 Chronicles, same 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, can we look at it? It said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Psalm 50, verse 14. It says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High." The next verse says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So God expects that we will praise him, give him thanks, hallelujah, and then pay our vows. When you promise God you're going to do something, you must go ahead and do it. Some people do not understand when they're in trouble. Sometimes they promise, "If you deliver me from this thing, I'm going to be in church, I'm going to be committed to you, I'm going to serve you," and all of that. And as soon as God delivered them, some people went to the bar and bought a round for everybody. Was that what they promised they were going to do? No. They started celebrating with their friends. They threw a party. In fact, during the party, then they had a punch. They mixed all kinds of stuff. They got drunk and all of that. Was that what he promised he was going to do? No. So he says, Let's back up verse 14. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. This also applies in marriage, because when you were trying to marry this young lady, you promised all kinds of things. You were vowing, you know, I will never, I will, blah, blah, blah. And hallelujah. Pay your vows. Amen. So that the angel of the Lord does not destroy your work. Hallelujah. God will destroy your work if you don't pay your vows. If you vow unto the Lord and you refuse to pay, things will be destroyed in your life if you don't take time. That's not the portion of anyone here in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go back to the story and begin to look at what happened here. All right. They came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, I know that we're in the New Testament and we're people living under the grace of God, but I want to say something to you. When trouble strikes, it might be, depending on the kind of trouble, it might be a good time to fast. Jesus said, when they were asking him, why is it that the disciples of the Pharisees and John the Baptist fast, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said they would not fast while the bridegroom is with them, but when he's taken, then shall they fast. Hallelujah. Then shall they do what? Then shall they fast. Amen. So fasting is a part of our Christian walk. Hallelujah. When we set ourselves to seek the Lord. Amen. Seek his face. Glory be to God. And Judah gathered themselves to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they came to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Some people like to blame God when they don't know him. They've never called upon his name. They blame him when something happens, when they've never invited him into their situation. We have said in church here, complaining and murmuring is not faith and it's not prayer. It doesn't mean anything. In fact, it's annoying to the Lord because you're not asking anything. You're just murmuring. You're just talking about what's wrong. So, but what do you want? What do you want him to do now? And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers. When you come to God, you must be reverent. God isn't your, he's not your body. He's not your butler. He's not your, he is the king of the universe. He's our father. Yes, but because of the dangerous relationship between some people and their fathers here, I wouldn't like to liken him to your relationship with your earthly father. Because some people have no respect whatsoever for their fathers. Some of it is their culture. We say, Abba, Father. That's true. My father. That's true. We don't use derogatory words for God. We don't insult God. Even if you're frustrated. If you do that, you're going to invite trouble. Because the angels cannot understand why you can do something like that. And so they will do something to you. Because they protect the glory of God. That is why when anybody refuses to give God glory, something happens to the person. Or the person is blasphemous. Or blaspheming against God, God would deal, the angels would deal with the person. Even in our day, there is nobody upon the earth right now that has blasphemed the name of the Lord that did not get some answer from heaven. Hallelujah. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and givest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou would hear and help. He laid out before God what God had promised the people. Now, in the scriptures, it says, bring forth your strong reasons. So, Jehoshaphat here is laying out to God why God needs to intervene. That's why you have stories about believers telling you things that they did. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The only thing about it is that you should testify. After it's done, don't say, I, such a one as I did it, I put my leg on this side and I put it this way, and you know, it just happened. No, God did it. We called upon the name of the Lord and he did it. I don't know of prayers prayed earnestly, heartfelt, that did not produce result, as long as it was in our domain. You know, let me put it this way. You can carry people, some people, with your faith, but a time comes when God expects them to have their own faith. Hallelujah. God expects them to have their own faith and believe him for things, for themselves. He's not my daddy's God. A time comes when he has to be your God, not my wife's God. A time comes when he has to be your God. God has to be God for you, and God wants to be God to you. He wants to operate with you. And now behold, the children of Ammon, verse 10, and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Do you know why God said not to touch them? The Ammonites and the Moabites were Abraham's, they were the children of Lot. What's his name? Lot was Abraham's nephew. That was why God said, don't touch them. Go away from them. Go another route. But now, years later, they are not coming against Israel. Now, mind you, God taught these people through Lot his ways. They had no business, if they were telling their descendants what to do, to come against Israel. He said, what, that thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have not might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Wow. Praise the Lord. Our God is a God that responds to his people at their request. I would like to say answers prayer. Hallelujah. God knows what you're thinking. God knows why you're doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession. Let me say this. You and all that has to do with you is the Lord's. If you're born again, you belong to God. Your dogs belong to God. Your cats, they belong to God. Let me say this. The shrub in your home belong to God. Everything that has to do with you belongs to God. God, the Bible says, no hair, strand of hair on your head will fall to the ground without God knowing about it, permitting it. The minute you take over a place, it becomes God's domain, God's abode. Nobody can just come there and just drive you out. Now, that does not mean you should be acting irresponsibly. You have a mortgage to pay, and a cousin invites you to Tanganyika somewhere. I say, man, I must go, man. It's cousin journey. Can you afford it? No. I said, but I have my mortgage money. I'm going to go. When I come back, God take care of it. No. No. It doesn't work like that. That's foolishness. And the people of God have been endowed with wisdom. We're not foolish people. Hallelujah. Will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. They brought their babies to church. They brought their children to church. Don't leave your children at home. And upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. When you call upon the name of the Lord, God shows up. The anointing came upon the congregation. And upon one man, the anointing began to operate. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. It says unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. When people come against you, they're coming against the God of Abraham and Isaac. They're coming against Jesus. Bible says we are hid with Christ in God. Nobody touches you without touching the apple of God's eyes. You know, when Saul was going around, Saul who became Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, when he was persecuting Christians, he was going around killing people, causing them to blaspheme and all of that. And Jesus stopped him in his tracks and said to him, why persecutest thou? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You can't come against the church except something is seriously wrong with you, or that the church you came against does not know who they are. If any man wants to destroy himself quickly, try the church. It says, tomorrow, go ye down against them. God shows up and God gives you an instruction. This instruction could not come just by the witness of the Spirit of God in your spirit. It's just a knowing. Brother Joel said something that God, you know, he just had a knowing, and he did it. And he had a miracle. That is the instruction. When God shows up, God gives you an instruction. In that instruction, obedience is what causes the power to be released. It means you are demonstrating that you believe him. When Jesus said to the lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. You know, those gentlemen could have turned around and said, Master, seriously? You expect us, moi, and my friends, to go see the priest? We're talking about leprosy here. We're not talking about a headache. But the Bible says, they turned, and as they went, they were healed. The first miracle that Jesus did in the Cana of Galilee, when Mary came to him, his mother, and said, they have no wine. And then he said, she turned around to the servants who came. He said, whatever he says to you, do it. So I said, okay. He said, take those vessels, fill them up with water, and you take them to the governor of the feast. And they went, they fetched the water, used to wash people's feet, and took it to the governor. I mean, that's the craziest thing you could ever do. But they did it anyway. And what happened? God showed up. God showed up big time. And the governor said, wow, I've not tasted wine like this. Usually, the wine, the good wine is done, and when people are drunk, they bring out, you know, but you have kept the good wine going. He did not know it was the wash water that he gave him to drink. That Jesus, in the process of it, and the remarkable thing is that Jesus did not say water turn into wine. He gave an instruction. And the Father did what was in Jesus' heart. Wow.